Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
London's rioting has spread to Birmingham and Liverpool. A Kelso man is arrested for beating his brother-in-law to death. And a driver trying to avoid a possum crashes into a telephone pole.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, August 9th, 2011. A driver trying to avoid a possum in the road crashed into a telephone pole on Highway 224 just east of Carver this morning, causing a power outage and highway closure. The crash brought electrical lines down on the car and the road, leaving about 75 homes without power. Police say 22-year-old Caitlin Golden of Newburgh was heading west on Highway 224 when she lost control attempting to avoid the possum. Golden's Honda Accord left the highway and sheared off the power pole. Troopers cited Golden on a violation of failure to maintain a lane of travel. The crash happened at 11:30 p.m. and the highway was closed for about 3 hours. PGE crews were still flagging traffic through the area at 6 a.m. this morning. There was no news on the condition of the possum.
Typically, you don't see your possum as being large enough to get a car off the road like that. Your possum is what you might call very, very small.
That's not really true. There are some huge, huge possums. They can get like this big. They can get pretty darn huge.
They're football size.
They're football size. Or like big, bloated, scary football. Also, when your headlights hit them, their eyes like shine with evil, and they can scare you.
Okay.
Have you ever like had a flashlight in the backyard or looked, and then it looked right at you and it was like, ah!
Yes, when Huck and I were going out to the fishing hole out back just before rafting down the Mississippi, Don, I would often come across... No, I haven't. Oh. Now, the only thing I ever see are those, like, nutria things that are down by the... OMSI. And those are, you know, to be fair, I mean, those are freaky enough. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to screw with those
also
things.
Raccoons. You think raccoons are adorable, and they get really huge. They get just, like... massive.
Do we know what kind of vehicle she was driving?
A Honda Accord.
Okay, well, you know, it's not like she's... So it's not like she's driving, some sort of massive compensatory vehicle that would just go right by.
No.
I mean, that might cause you a fair amount of bumping.
And, you see animals in the road, you just don't want to run over them because
unless they're evil.
Well, yes.
All right.
But still, it could get ick all over your car.
Muck up your paint.
Yes.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news, also Science on the March, and so forth. Next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program at RickEmersonShow.com. This is Don Taylor.
An autopsy has found that a Salem couple found dead in a hot tub died of overheating and drowning, and that their deaths were believed to be accidental.
You mean the sexy kind of overheating?
No, I think the boiling in a stew pot of your own making.
No, that's
Dr. Larry Luman of the...
Like, that's not sexy. I mean...
Well, of the state medical examiner's office, said 56-year-old Terry Kent and 57-year-old Melinda Sweeten died of immersion hyperthermia, and said heat was the primary factor in their deaths. Luman said the deaths were likely accidental. Marion County Sheriff's Office spokesman Don Thompson said the couple were found Monday morning by a relative who was planning to drop off a child in their care for the day. And on the relative front, Cowlitz County Sheriff's officers have arrested a brother-in-law of a man found fatally beaten a week ago behind the Kelso, Washington home where he was staying. The Daily News of Longview reports the 38-year-old Sergei Fedoruk of Kelso was arrested Monday for investigation of second-degree murder in the death of Serhii Ishchenko. The sheriff's spokesman said Fedoruk had been held in the Cowlitz County Jail on a probation violation since August 1st, the day the body was discovered. Chief Criminal Deputy Charlie Rosenzweig said blood on a sweatshirt Fedoruk was wearing the night of the killing tested positive for Ishchenko's DNA. County Coroner Tim Davidson said the 48-year-old victim died of multiple blunt force traumatic injuries.
Don't forget, if you want to get this program later on the day via iTunes, you can do so. It's also available as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at LegionOfNews.com. And you can also take it with you on your mobile device if you like. It is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Later on this hour, we will talk more about what's coming up in next hour's Rick Emerson Radio Program, which you can hear at RickEmersonShow.com. This, however, is Don Taylor.
A registered sex offender wore a Cookie Monster costume as he handed out flyers to children at the Mississippi Valley Fair over the weekend.
Just wrong.
James Lester Rogers, 25, of Davenport, Mississippi, was in the Scott County Jail on Monday on an aggravated misdemeanor charge. Police said on Saturday he wore a full Cookie Monster costume and handed out flyers for a company called QC Characters. If children wanted their pictures taken with Cookie Monsters, Rogers stood for the photographs. He was arrested about 4:45 p.m. after he approached a law enforcement officer and said, "Hello." The officer was Rick...
I haven't been beaten enough today. What can we do to remedy that?
The officer was Rich Alexijek. I can't... There are way too many consonants in his name. I have no idea how it's pronounced. A member of the Scott County Sex Offender Task Force.
Uh-huh.
Alexijek works in the GPS unit. He recognized Rogers' voice behind the costume, but asked him who he was anyway. Rogers then took the head off the costume and identified himself. And at that point, they called some more cops to the fairgrounds, and they interviewed him while he was still dressed as the Cookie Monster in the office of the county fair. And then they took him to jail.
Seriously, that is the thing where you're just, your hand is there on the nightstick just waiting for the guy to twitch in the wrong way, just waiting for him to give you any sort of, that is the definition of just give us a reason. Just give us any sort of a justification for just lighting you up like a bad Christmas tree.
Yeah, because of his past conviction in 2005 of lascivious acts with a minor, his victim was a 7-year-old girl. He's allowed to attend the county fair, but he cannot work or volunteer on the fairgrounds in any capacity. The sheriff's detective, Scott Bodden, said he's not allowed to sell corn dogs, let alone be in a Cookie Monster outfit.
I would imagine anything that starts with corn is something he's prohibited from having anything to do with. Also, the bouncy house. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don Taylor, in the Dropbox there, you might want to look for the... I want to look for the sound folder. That was not wanting to export, but I believe it believe it is there. You'll find a few initial pages. Coming up next hour on the Rick Emerson Radio Program, Clergy Watch coming up. Also, Cannibal Watch coming up next hour. And we'll have a recap of Sunday's episode of True Blood. That is episode 5, season 4 of True Blood. Don Taylor will be recapping that next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, where you, yes, you, can be entertained and amused for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. I say not at all vamping for time.
I'm just wondering why the document is being so persnickety all of a sudden.
I don't know.
Because they've always been fine before, but okay.
It's always worked smoothly.
Yeah, now I'm having, it's not, I don't know. What
let's
the
blame
is.
Possums.
Yes, let's blame the possums. I'll work on that in a second.
Okay.
Strawberries sold at farmers markets and roadside stands were blamed for a deadly E. coli outbreak on Monday. The strawberries were sold in July. None were sold in supermarkets. An unidentified elderly woman in Washington County died from kidney failure and four others were hospitalized. So far, 16 people in Washington, Clatsop, Multnomah counties, and northwestern Oregon have been infected in the past month. The Oregon Health Authority said they traced the berries to Jacketh Strawberry Farm on Southwest Jacketh Road in Newburgh. The farm no longer has any of the berries on the market. However, many berry buyers resold them at roadside stands and farmers markets. Officials said the farm is cooperating in the investigation. Oregon Health Department's Dr. Paul Sleestack, I'm sorry, C-Slack, said they did not think the strawberries...
These berries are not for your kind.
Said they did not think the strawberries were being sold, but worried that people may have frozen the strawberries, which does not kill the bacteria.
For two to eat the berries, two must be eaten. It is the way of the universe.
If you have any strawberries from this producer frozen in uncooked jam or any uncooked form, throw them out, C-Slack said. People who have eaten the strawberries but remain well need take no action. The incubation period is typically 2 to 7 days. The commonality among these cases has been strawberries at roadside stands and farmers markets supplied by this one farm last month. So not implicated. So you're safe with berries, all berries other than strawberries, any strawberries sold since August 1st, any strawberries sold south of Benton County or east of Multnomah County, any strawberries sold in supermarkets, any strawberries picked at this particular strawberry farm's you picked field. So, and Dr. Sleestack also says that you should wash fruits and vegetables thoroughly before you eat them and keep those and raw food separated from your cooked food and wash your hands, when they're covered with poo.
You must keep these crystals in the correct orientation. Also, do not keep raw pork near your jams or jellies.
All right.
Okay. I shouldn't find this nearly as funny as I
could
do
that all day.
But I just...
Seriously, I could respond to every story as though I were Enoch the Eltrusian.
I can't stop laughing.
Nah, it's okay. You know, look, I don't have a lot of skills in this life. But things like that, I want them right there.
If I'm ever deeply, deeply depressed, I just need you to come over to my house and be a sleestack.
It is always darkest before the dawn.
You're listening to...
I'm such a retard.
This is true. Oh. Listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us and so forth. Later on this hour, you'll get to be deeply amused by our science quote... knowledge. That's at the Science of the March coming up by the hour, and around 12:45 Pacific time, you'll be hearing entertainment news. Coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, we're going to be speaking to our listener of ours who is in Britain, where there's all the all the rioting and the looting and the hey-hey and the marching and the oh, quit bludgeoning me with a nightstick. And so we're going to talk to him next hour and find out the... because I guess there's going to be 16,000 cops that are out there on the streets tonight, which is... and I think that 16,000 above and beyond, like, whatever the number of cops is they had yesterday.
Yeah, they've been pulling them in. I've got the story. I was going to read the story later. They've been pulling them in from, five different cities outside of London. There's going to be something like, I don't know, some ridiculous amount of cops.
Many, many.
Many, many police officers.
So that'll be next hour. And again, coming up later on this hour, we get to entertainment news and science. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Well, speaking of that, the rioting and looting that began in London on Saturday has now spread beyond the city's boundaries, with outbreaks of civil unrest and violence being reported in a handful of other English cities, including Birmingham and Liverpool.
And this is why?
What are they
upset about again?
It started with a peaceful protest after police shot an unarmed man. And then it turned into a bunch of hooligans looting and breaking windows. And then I think just general dissatisfaction with life and government has just swelled it to now it is just all purpose general violence and cars being set on fire and things being overturned.
Is this another thing for which we can blame soccer teams?
I don't think so in this case, no.
Okay.
I really don't. In fact, they postponed two soccer matches because there was too much looting and rioting going on.
Arsenal will not be able to play today because of the immense looting and the overturning of cars.
Prime Minister David Cameron announced today that he would flood the city's streets with an extra 10,000 police officers, bringing the total to 16,000 in an attempt to get control of the increasingly dire situation that locals says is the worst unrest in recent memory. To date, police have arrested more than 560 people in the violence and looting that's going on. The police presence on the street will more than double tonight. Chief Constable Sir Hugh Ord said, even though there are more police, that doesn't mean they'll be violent.
What you won't see are knee-jerk reactions and excessive use of force, but it's not justified.
I know it's wrong for me to imagine all British people with that particular accent as being Graham Chapman, but it's all I can picture.
And unless British police are different than police everywhere else in the world, knee-jerk reactions to violence is exactly what you're going to expect.
Well, they don't have,
that's what they're there
they
for.
They don't have guns, so I don't really know what their reaction's going to be. What are they going to do? Just glower?
I think they have pepper spray, and they have beady sticks.
Beady sticks.
That's what they call them in Britain. They're called
snap into a beady stick! Oi!
Ord said there will be more officers in the streets tonight than the 6,000 that were on duty Monday evening.
The policing response tonight, I can assure you, will be robust. We have 16,000 officers deployed. My job has been to provide the Commissioner, Tim Godwin, with the assistance he needs. We have done that. We have far more police on duty, and they will deal very robustly with anyone who thinks they can break the law and terrify the law-abiding citizens of London.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
There's an actor that he sounds exactly like.
I'm telling you, he sounds like Graham Chapman.
A little bit, yeah. It's going to come to me later that there's this particular actor in this one particular role. He sounds exactly like him. More than 400 people have been arrested since the rioting began Saturday. Three people are being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder after a police officer was injured by a car in Wembley while trying to stop looters. Police are also investigating the murder of a 26-year-old man who was shot and killed in a car in Croydon. The New York Times wrote that the gangs are using technology to stay ahead of the police. They
and
said
science.
Despite a buildup in the number of riot police officers, many of them rushed to London from areas around the country. Gangs of hooded young people appeared to be outmaneuvering the police, communicating via BlackBerry instant message technology that the police have struggled to monitor, as well as using social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter. They repeatedly singled fresh target areas to those caught up in the mayhem.
I think the big news here is that we've discovered a pocket of people still using BlackBerry to communicate. So someone clearly needs to get on the stick and alert the News of the World about this.
And we found a really excellent use for social networking sites. Rioting.
Yes. Attention, attention, Rim. Get over there. Your marketing department clearly has work to do.
There's no curfew yet in place, and police have not used rubber bullets or water cannons to break up the crowd. Theresa May, the Home Secretary, told Sky News, "The way we police in Britain is not through use of water cannon. The way we police in Britain is through consent of communities."
Yeah, see, that's your problem right there.
How's that working out for you?
That's the thing. So as much as people like to complain about cops just getting all hitty and shooty and whatever, you can see that the other approach does absolutely dick to stop it. Because if you're just sitting there going, and then I will continue to stare at you in this judgmental fashion and use the harshest of language until you, come on, be a pal, help me out. So I am unclear on the whole cops have guns, cops don't have guns thing. What is up with that?
I don't know. I'm not British. I have no idea.
Oh, come on. You are too.
No. I thought I was hiding it so well.
All right. Say this. Say Weetabix.
Weetabix.
All right. Yeah. Apparently the cops shot a guy, so at least one of them had a gun.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
He sounded like Jim Broadbent.
Don't care.
Okay. Sorry. Portland-based rockers Portugal the Man say the trailers carrying their gear was stolen after a performance at the Lollapalooza Music Festival in Chicago last weekend. The band tweeted the news Monday that someone hopped in their van and drove off with the trailer attached. Since then, they have gotten tips and several offers of help from those who follow them on Twitter. Police are searching for the red passenger van and trailer. Both have Alaska license plates. The band posted a photo of the van on their website. Our friend Ryan White of the Oregonian wrote about this, and you can read his piece on Oregon Live this morning. And he wrote that the band's red Ford 350 van, black trailer, and all their gear was stolen while it was in an attended parking lot near Chicago's Grant Park. Ryan talked to the lead singer of the band, who told him that there is a list. You can find a list online. There's a couple of different places online, a couple of music websites, and I believe their own site, that have a list of the stuff that was stolen. And
of the gear?
Of the gear. And it is extensive. It is massive. It is absolutely everything that they had and that they were carrying with them around the country from show to show to actually perform.
The worst part is how the guy, I don't know if this is actually in the story or not, but that the guy said he was just like two gigs before, he was sitting backstage with, you know, a beverage and thinking to himself, well, we finally arrived. We finally got all the equipment we needed. We're not lacking a single piece of instrumentation or electronic gear. Everything we need to, and, you know, and then like 48 hours later, just some dick drives off with it all.
And it is everything. This is what they've used to record their last two albums. This is the equipment they use when they tour. And it includes some stuff that is really hard to find, like a 1966 Gretsch Viking electric guitar, a 1959 Guild electric guitar, a Gretsch Falcon, a 1966 Fender Mustang bass, and a 1964 Fender Super Reverb amplifier.
Yeah, I'm sure you can just pick those up at the corner store.
I guess there is a guy who refurbishes equipment, and he has one of these amplifiers, and he's basically said, if somebody will return the stolen one, he'll give them an amp. Just like, could you bring that one back?
A little help, just something or other, please.
So.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. I'm actually going to put a little follow-up document down on the Dropbox, and it's going to be called 8911B.
All right.
And I'm going to append the suffix there, and we'll see if that see.
Well,
if
actually,
that actually
no,
helps.
I think I printed it out.
All right.
I think it should be on. Everything should be on the thing.
Do me a favor, print this other one as well, because it's going to be slightly. It's going to be slightly longer.
This is us doing paperwork, by the way. That's that makes for excellent radio.
No. We're letting people see the mechanics of the program. People love seeing behind the curtain, Dawn.
Yeah. Dawn's printing stuff. This is awesome. I print stuff.
You're not.
She's just like me.
You're not selling it.
They're just like us. They use a printer.
Make it sound exciting.
Well, we use a really fancy printer that only famous people have.
Okay, you're not.
It's made from fairies and unicorns. No. Dun, 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 dun. It's printing. Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Don, print that stuff right now.
Oh, I will. I'm getting right on that.
Okay, see, there you go. Now we've sold it. You're listening to Legion of News. Here is, at the news desk, Don Taylor.
A federal inmate who expressed his desire to kill himself just moments before his arrest committed suicide in the Orleans Parish Jail Sunday night, according to a news release from Sheriff Marlon Gussman. William Goetze, 48.
I don't want to look at this story.
Was arrested August 2nd outside federal court after he tried to snatch a gun from a federal security officer. During the attempt to get the gun, he told the officer he wanted to kill himself.
Who wants to see the visual aid?
Gussman's news release states that Goetze was initially evaluated at the interim LSU Public Hospital before being placed on the sheriff's office psychiatric tier and put on suicide watch.
I think we can all agree that Goetze needs to be in the psychiatric ward.
Mark Earhart, a spokesman for the department, said that when someone is placed on suicide watch at the jail, they are supposed to be under constant supervision.
I am not going to put Goetze under constant supervision. Not by me, not by anyone.
This means under supervision 24 hours a day,
not going to happen.
The jail suspended a deputy who was charged with observing Goetze, according to a news release. The deputy...
It took time away from observing Lemon Party. Is really the damnable misery there.
The deputy who the release did not name left his post for an undisclosed period of time. Apparently, he could not stand looking at Goetze anymore, so he had to take a break.
Someone says, I'm surprised he didn't kill himself years ago.
The jail's preliminary investigation found Goetze, quote, surreptitiously swallowed toilet tissue.
Well, I can believe
on
that.
Sunday.
Probably the entire toilet tissue factory, actually.
While the autopsy is still pending from the Orleans Parish Coroner's Office, the jail concluded that Goetze was able to asphyxiate himself with the tissue paper.
I mean, I think it would require a little bit of contortion, but I could see how that might be possible.
Yeah. So Goetze was arrested last Tuesday near the federal courthouse, according to a criminal complaint. He allegedly approached the passenger side of a marked Federal Protective Services vehicle shortly before 11 a.m., opened the door, and sat inside the car. Federal Officer William Watson, who was sitting in the driver's seat, questioned Goetze. Goetze took a couple of deep breaths, lunged towards Watson, and tried to remove Watson's weapon from its holster. During the scuffle, Goetze allegedly said, I want to kill myself. Give me your gun.
The idea of Goetze lunging toward you is just the thing from which nightmares are made.
No. And who wants that job, really, having to observe Goetze for 24 hours?
How do you handcuff Goetze, really, is the question. I don't even understand how there'd be any sort of a tethering that could happen. Someone has noted that Tub Girl apparently is unavailable for comment.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Here's that pile of news, Dawn.
Hooray!
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. Dawn.
Yes.
Here's that pile of news.
Thank God.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. A Texas jury has sentenced polygamist leader Warren Jeffs to life in prison for sexually assaulting children. Prosecutor Eric Nichols says he's pleased.
Justice has arrived for Warren Steed Jeffs, who we expect to spend the rest of his life in prison.
Nichols says justice has been served.
This one person used his position of authority in the FLDS Church and corrupted and perverted not only that position of authority, but also the religious principles of his own community.
Now, does he really count as a member of the LDS Church if he's like a splinter nutcase?
He said it really is unfair to tag the LDS Church as being affiliated with that guy because he's a member of, I believe, the RLDS Church, which is similar in name, but really that's the extent of it. I mean, it really is. I think it is that guy trying to give himself a veneer of respectability by associating himself with a more mainstream religion. It really, as crazy as Mormons are in many, many ways, it is they're a whole different brand of crazy. And I would say at this point in their development, a much less overtly harmful brand of crazy than that guy who was just flat out.
Yeah.
He was the guy that built a sex temple. And there's a sort of a piece of audio that I have probably in my archive somewhere of me saying the word sex temple, which somebody then took and chopped up into some sort of really bizarre and disturbing recording. But he was the guy that kept these diaries about how God told him to build like a sex temple out of big granite stones so that he could, you know, properly give the baptismal rite to a bunch of, like 9-year-olds or something.
By the way, on Twitter, Robert Wagner has pointed out that apparently today is Hate on Blackberry Day on Cascadia. I believe someone was also hating on Blackberry on a different show earlier today, and now us. So we're joining in, I guess, with a general theme here on Cascadia FM of dissing the Blackberry.
Well, you know, here's the thing about the Blackberry is that I think that my Blackberry annoyance or my Blackberry the adjective that Blackberry gives me, it comes from, I think, one of the deepest places from which that sort of thing can derive, which is that I was a longtime BlackBerry user. And so over the years, I just saw them slip further and further behind and just fumble more and more of their market share and lose more and more of this incredible head start that they had over, like, every other company on the planet. To where it almost seems now like BlackBerry, like, they just get together in a room with their two CEOs, FYI, just who apparently can never agree on anything and can never agree with anything that anybody else in the company believes should be their way forward. But they just sit together in a room and they go, all right, now, in certain parts of the world, we have still inexplicably got a lead over the competition. And for reasons that no one can explain, we actually have substantial market share in some of the developing nations. How can we squander that lead and make sure that we are in ninth place by the end of business today? Everybody just, you know, I want you to go and let's all break up into dyads. And we're going to come up with 5 action items each that we are then going to take, and we're going to move forward with those as part of our overall goal, our umbrella strategy of completely and totally failing to satisfy anybody. Bob, what are you going to do about that? Well, sir, I'm going to make sure that we put out the worst touch technology that any touchscreen phone has ever had. I'm going to make sure that the swiping doesn't work correctly, that pressing one button, in fact, activates 3 at the same time, and that there's a complete system crash for no reason at all every 90 seconds. That's great. What about you, Chet? Well, as for myself, sir, I'm going to make sure that we put out new products every quarter, regardless of whether or not they integrate with the operating system. I'm also going to make sure that the software, the hardware, and the firmware are from 3 different external vendors, and none of them mesh correctly. And then he says, okay, that's great. Let's meet back after lunch and see how these things are going. I mean, that does seem to be the way that BlackBerry approaches everything now. So I'm just, but I'm nitpicking.
Just touch.
Yeah.
Let's do our science.
All right, let's see. Here's your science on the march for... Oh, damn it, that's wrong. Sorry. Here's your science on the march for Tuesday, August 9th, 2011. Brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 via your telephone. Or you can find them online at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squiresElectric. Licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And that's what they are. That is what they do. They can come to your home. They can come to your business. They can deal with upgrading, installing, repairing, making sure you pass your next inspection, or just making sure that you're not going to be the guy that causes rolling brownouts throughout the neighborhood the next time a heat wave hits and you try to run your air conditioner and your hair dryer at the same time. Squires Electric at squireselectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Here's Don Taylor.
Korean scientists have just created a muscular and strong new thin film that generates electric fields when bent or flexed. It generates fields of millions of times stronger fields that could be useful for nanoscale technologies. The secret is in the strength. The flexing is built in. The film's layers are stacked such that atoms in layers higher up are spaced closer together. This puts a strain on the material and creates permanent electric fields that can be tweaked by adjusting the spacing. I have no idea what any of that means, but it sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, Rick Emerson, the FBI says the DNA testing on the guy who might have been D.B. Cooper turns out that that wasn't really D.B. Cooper.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. All
right. DNA testing failed to link the new suspect to the man who jumped out of a hijacked airplane with $200,000 in ransom cash 4 decades ago. Investigators thought they'd finally solved the case earlier this year.
No, they did. That's a lie. That's a lie. That is a goddamn lie.
But a woman named Lynn Doyle Cooper came forward claiming she believed her now-deceased uncle was the infamous DB, based largely on childhood memories from when she was 8 years old. But a DNA sample taken from someone in the suspect's family did not match a sample taken from the necktie left on board the plane.
Hold on. I think I must have missed this the first time around, because it was a week ago, weeks ago, because it was that week that Snyder was here, and we were talking about DB Cooper. Because it was like 2-3 days in a row for this, and I just, I had some... one of my thrice yearly sort of mental collapses about the entire thing.
I was reading the D.B. Cooper story.
Right, but he was here here as well. It was that week because he didn't know. He was also asking me sort of like, what is the background of my obsession with D.B. Cooper? And I said, well, he's sort of the folk hero and he took off from Portland, whatever. But I think I must have missed at the time that her last name and therefore presumably his last name was in fact Cooper. Either that wasn't in the story that we first read where they just identified her as a woman, or I missed it, or my brain just repressed it like some sort of bad clergy incident when I would, from childhood. Because to then believe that she was telling the truth implies that the guy who made sure that he didn't leave, much in the way of evidence behind, that nobody was actually able to see most of his face, that he took back the ransom note, that he apparently inadvertently left behind a tie but took all the other evidence with him, tried very hard not to leave fingerprints, but that he would have just gotten onto the plane using his own goddamn name.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hard to believe that this didn't pan out, that this didn't turn up actual evidence that we could use for some hard and fast proof of conviction.
Also, the FBI is now saying, too, that they don't know for certain that the DNA on that necktie belongs to the suspect, because he could have borrowed it from somebody else.
Oh, God.
So their DNA samples might not actually even be him.
I wish I was dead. I wish I'd never been born.
So, there you go. So it's still a mystery.
I'm going to give up caring. I'm not going to care anymore after today. About anything. Not just D.B. Cooper. I'm not going to care about anything at all. D.B. Cooper, the Loch Ness Monster, the whereabouts of Jimmy Hoffa, you, my appendix, doesn't matter. Salt, nothing. Don't care about any of it.
A common virus may slink into the brain through the nose. After setting up shop in people's nasal mucus, human herpes virus 6 may travel along olfactory cells right into the brain.
Is this your goal today, to try to get every unpleasant story in the world? And in fact, in this story, to get every unpleasant term and facet you can possibly think of in one story? We've got virus, we've got in your brain, we've got slinking into your nose, we've got the herpes simplex virus, and, quote, setting up shop in your nasal mucus.
Yes.
Okay.
Blame the August 8th edition of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
No, I'm going to blame you.
Okay. Most people's first bout with HHV6 comes at a young age. It causes the common childhood infection roseola, marked by a chest rash and a high fever. Everyone is exposed to this, says study co-author Stephen Jacobson.
Is roseola a song by Bruce Springsteen?
Yes.
Okay.
He says, you have it, I have it. Despite its ubiquity, very little is known about the virus. HHV6 may live in tonsils and shed in saliva, so some studies suggest. And in some people, researchers don't know how many, the virus can infect the brain, where some researchers believe it may contribute to neurological disorders such as multiple sclerosis, encephalitis, and some forms of epilepsy. Other viruses such as herpes simplex, influenza A, and rabies can invade the brain by shooting through the nose. So Jacobson and his team wonder if HHV6 could do the same trick. They found high levels of it in the olfactory bulb, a smell-related part of the brain, in two of three autopsy brain samples that they did. The team then looked at nose mucus and found the virus in 52 of 126 different samples.
What kind of an office pool do you lose where you're the guy who has to look at tubs of nose mucus?
Are you the guy who has... See, you got the scientists who say, you know what we need to do? We need to look at nose mucus. Then you're like the guy who gets like $10 an hour and works in the lab who has to go harvest nose mucus from like dead bodies. So these guys have their samples.
With a tiny, tiny pitchfork.
That's the bad job.
Yeah.
The results should be interpreted cautiously, says neuroimmunologist Robin Klein of the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Since the study presents correlative data on a small number of samples, it's hard to say whether HHV6 really travels along olfactory pathways to the brain.
Why do we care about this?
Well, because a virus's entry point to the brain could have an impact on how an infection grows and what happens to it. So they're trying to figure out how infections get into the brain. And they're now starting to look to see if maybe some of them like go up our nose and go into our brain through like our nasal passages.
All right. I know that I don't know, you know, a lot about science. I mean, our science knowledge is certainly finite and one might say infinitesimally small. It seems like putting forward the hypothesis that stuff eventually gets into your head by the big holes that are all over it is not really like groundbreaking thinking. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't want to upset the scientific apple cart or anything, but your head has seven huge holes in it. The idea that something might get in them occasionally and therefore just be rattling around inside your head, it seems like that's the kind of thing you could probably come up with before breakfast.
Possibly. Although, you know, it's unlikely that they're going in your eyeballs.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
I think it's more likely that stuff's going up your nose than going in your eyeballs.
You ever taken a good long look at your eyes? You ever seen those shows where they look at your eye under like a really powerful electronic microscope?
No.
Okay. No. You just continue to dwell in your blissful ignorance over there, scummy.
Wildlife groups will boycott Sri Lanka's first census of elephants because they fear the count is a smokescreen for capturing and domesticating the animals. The Wildlife Department said it will go ahead with the count starting Thursday, aimed at gathering information on the population and helping prepare conservation policies. About 20 wildlife groups had agreed to deploy about 200 volunteers to help the department count the animals, but they announced Tuesday they were withdrawing their support after Wildlife Minister S.M. Chandrasena was quoted as saying 300 young elephants will be captured and handed over to Buddhist temples after the census. Rukshan Jayawardeen, chairman of Wildlife Conservation Forum, said, "This is actually a smokescreen to capture wild elephants while they are young, especially tuskers, and basically take them in for domestication." He feared that most of these animals will not end up in Buddhist temples, but will end up in private residences working long hours.
Are they captured by a series of tusker raiders?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are.
Someone has noted that most of the viri get into his body via his goatsy gland. It's just sort of a huge hanger for... it's like a big tractor beam for filth.
Anyway, costumed and decorated elephants are used in Buddhist ceremonies as they parade through streets carrying the sacred relics of the Lord Buddha. They are, however, also ridden by tourists and used to carry heavy weights in the logging industry.
Does the Lord Buddha run a circus in his spare time or something? Does he,
He likes a... Buddha likes a snappily dressed elephant.
Okay.
He likes a...
Are we sure that Buddha isn't just some other figment of P.T. Barnum's imagination? He just isn't just some other ancillary character created, you know, right next to Bingo the Clown?
Buddha was the P.T. Barnum of his time, I think.
Let's see, I have... Remind me to read you this this thing later.
Okay.
That's all you need to remember. Just remind me to read the thing later.
That's all.
At the end of science?
Yeah, that's
all
science.
Right, there you go. There's your Science in the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find them at SquiresElectric.com or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. That is how they can be reached, or at 503-252-1609. What? Are you drinking out of a 2-liter bottle of soda?
Yeah, it was in the fridge, and I asked Greg and Sarah if it was theirs, and they said, I think so. And
I think so.
It was still kind of fizzy, and so I'm drinking some of it.
Okay. They don't remember if it's theirs or not.
No. So many beverages come and go from this place.
Can I just tell you, with the exception of my water bottle, which I clean every morning, I don't drink out of anything here that was not sealed when I got here. If it hasn't been under my observation the entire day, my lips don't touch it. I mean, you've seen some of the people who come into the studio.
Yeah, I know.
All right. There's your Science on the March. Coming up later on this hour, you got your entertainment news and so forth. Next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program featuring Cannibal Watch, Clergy Watch, and a recap of Sunday's episode of True Blood. Here is Don Taylor.
Residents in a Port Richey, Florida neighborhood got a taste of excitement Monday morning after a visit from an aggressive alligator. And there are two photos, by the way, available for this, for upload. One is of the alligator just walking around a driveway. And the other is my favorite. It's of them trapping the alligator while small children look through a screen door at it.
Really?
Which kind of I find just sort of creepy and delightful.
The children look happy or sad, upset for the alligator, or maybe in terror?
I don't know. I think they just look fascinated. But the alligator is, honest to God, just like a foot from the door. And they're like pressed up against the screen door watching them trap an alligator. The trapper was called out to the neighborhood after the gator was spotted underneath a car. The animal became aggressive and tried eluding the trapper. At one point, the alligator made a dash for the front door of a residence where two children were watching from the other side. After about 15 minutes, the trapper was able to secure the gator, which measured about 5 feet long. He's a good-sized alligator, really.
You'll be able to see this in just a moment at rickemerson.com/pictures. That is rickemerson.com/pictures. It's visual aids for August 9th, 2011.
I like the idea that the children were standing at the screen door looking, and the gator saw them, and all the gator thought was, food! And
wow.
Just started lunging at them or something.
Well, these children are bite-sized. I mean, they really are. They're sort of the dibs of the human world. Relative to the size of the kid, that's a substantial alligator.
It is.
I mean, it's an alligator. I'd probably take your hand off. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah, you can see this at rickemerson.com/... Here's another one of the alligator just sort of lumbering up the driveway like, going to get me some food, then I'm going to take a long nap, then I'm going to watch a rerun of WKRP. And then the next thing is like it's just got a noose around its neck, and it looks so totally confused, like, how did this happen? I was just on my way to get a snack.
Well, small children are watching it.
Damn it, I hate it when my food looks at me. Look away! Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
Hot French fry oil that spilled onto a stove is to blame for an explosive fire that destroyed a home in Stafford, Connecticut. The fire was reported at a home near Village Hill Road around 11:30 p.m. Sunday. According to the fire marshal, two boys were in the home when the fire erupted. One was outside cooking steaks on the grill, while the other was inside packing for a trip. There was oil on the stove for cooking French fries. At some point, the oil spilled over onto the stove and started the fire. The boys got their dogs and ran to a neighbor to call 911. At the same time, a state trooper was in the area and also reported the fire. One of the boys said, neither of us had phones that worked at the time, so he drove down to the station and I was banging on all the neighbors' doors. The wood frame house is a couple hundred years old and went up in flames quickly. Water had to be trucked in, but it was too late to save the home. Tom Fitch, the fire marshal, said, there was a pond in the area, but it wasn't deep enough to draft. Mostly it was mutual aid companies coming in with tankers. Added to the danger, there were tanks of oxygen and ammunition in the house that exploded. The neighbor said, all you hear is all the bullets lighting, the oxygen tanks. It wasn't like started hissing and making all these noises. It was all of a sudden this giant mushroom cloud.
Wow.
And even though we were 100 yards away, we could still feel the heat.
A giant mushroom cloud. Not enough stories contain that phrase.
The boy's parents were not at home. They were away on a trip.
Of course. How old were the kids?
It doesn't say, but I'm imagining that it didn't.
Obviously old enough to take care of themselves without incident.
And, yes, cooking burgers on a grill and spilling hot oil all over the stove.
Next to the ammunition stores.
Next to the oxygen tanks and the ammunition.
Move those claymores back another few feet, Zeke. Do you want to blow us all to kingdom come?
You know, and this is one of those things where, you know, when parents go away and they leave their kids alone, and that lastly they say, don't burn the house down while we're gone. You know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll just pass along these two observations from listeners who apparently tying into what Robert Wagner has noted is hate on BlackBerry / Research in Motion Day. This comment says, I'm ready to launch my BlackBerry out of a cannon, followed by, I want to pay four truckers to rape my BlackBerry in the mouth.
Wow.
Which seems like a harsh, if deserved, assessment. Here is Don Taylor.
And our listener, Meta, who I believe is a proud black woman, she writes on Twitter, all blackberries look the same to me.
Nubian berries.
Yes. Philadelphia's mayor is implementing a weekend curfew for teenagers in areas of the city that have been terrorized by so-called flash mobs. Flash mobs are terrorizing people now?
Well, apparently when it involves beating people senseless and often unconscious.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And if this is the story I'm thinking of, but this may not be that, though. I may be conflating this with that whole ruckus that happened in, of all places, Wisconsin. Because there was some huge brouhaha that happened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I guess that there was like some sort of a state fair, a county fair or something. And you think of those as typically being peaceful places, unless you're inside a Sons of Anarchy episode. But I guess there was some massive beatdown where just hundreds of people were pounding on hundreds of other people. So that may be something that in my head is merging with Philadelphia, or it may be... I don't know. Maybe it's a...
No, apparently not. There's a piece here...
Maybe it's replaced ghostwriting the whip.
From the New York Times. And yeah, they're doing flash mobs, but hundreds of teenagers are converging downtown and then just kicking the crap out of people and assaulting pedestrians and vandalizing property.
Which, you know, is much less fun than just doing that hammer dance thing in the Gap and then running away.
Yeah. Well, it depends on your idea of fun,
well,
really.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah. So, the mayor of Philadelphia is now threatening violators with jail time. The warnings from Michael Netter are getting a lot more blunt, but local resident Simon Carr says he's glad to hear it.
What is the name of this?
Curfew 1.
Let's see. Hold on a second. Curfew. Ah, here we go. Curfew 1. He says the following about that thing there.
He has to be stern at this point because innocent people are getting hurt.
Although Netter, the mayor of Philadelphia, is black, many of his toughest criticisms have been directed squarely at African-American teens. Jerry Mondesir of the NAACP says he thinks Netter is doing exactly the right thing.
You can't ignore the racial aspect anymore.
Okay, then. Yeah, the mayor has said that he rejects the notion that the race... or that the city's cut-in services are a factor for any of this. He just says, I don't think people should be finding excuses for inappropriate behavior. There is no racial component to stupid behavior, and parents should not be looking to the government to provide entertainment for their children.
Okay, so there's two different things, apparently. So this is we've got some clarification on this. In Wisconsin, a bunch of people at a fair were attacked by alleged hundreds of thugs or ne'er-do-wells or whatever. In Philadelphia, what's happening is there's these crime incidents where dozens of teenagers walk into a store and just pick up stuff and walk out with it, and nobody can do anything or stop them because there's too many of them at once because of their numbers. So in Philadelphia, it's not assaults. The assaults are a component of thefts, which right. seem to be the primary motivation here.
But also there is violence because they said that there was one on Saturday in which there was a very large group of teenagers that broke out into fights, and a number of onlookers were injured and three people were arrested. A guy who owns a pizza place described it as like a tsunami of kids and showed bruises on his forehead from where he was kicked and punched while trying to keep the kids from entering his store.
So really, the beating only happens when you try to stop the robbing.
Yeah, he said, by the time you could hear them yelling, they were flooding the streets and the stores and the sidewalks. So that's happened in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love.
This is the reason why I try not to go to Philadelphia or Wisconsin, frankly.
The Daily Telegraph reports that an Indian man, identified only as Rialu, checked into a hospital with severe stomach pain, only to find out he had a full female reproductive system in his body. The doctors initially diagnosed the 35-year-old farmer with a hernia, but when they performed exploratory surgery...
But not a hernia.
When they performed exploratory surgery, they found a uterus, ovaries, fallopian tubes, and vaginal tissue.
Are we sticking by the introductory sentence that calls him an Indian man?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was all in the inside.
Uh-huh.
Needless to say, he was stunned, especially since he's all man on the outside and even has fathered two children. He has no problems whatsoever with his sexuality, according to Dr. Premad Kumar Shrivastava, a surgeon at the Chindwara District Hospital. Doctors performed a hysterectomy and repaired the hernia. He is now recovering. Shrivastava said, it's an embryological accident at the time of embryonic formation. Though most people are born with defined sexual organs, one out of 100 births differ from the standard male or female, according to the Intersex Society of North America. And you can find out more about this in your local library.
or at Fantasy Video, one imagines. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Radio program coming up next hour. Today we'll have a recap of Sunday's episode of True Blood, also Cannibal Watch, Clergy Watch, and more. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here is your entertainment news for Tuesday, August 9th, 2011, right here at Legion of News.
Felicia Snoop Pearson, the Baltimore woman who played an assassin on the HBO drama The Wire, pleaded guilty to a conspiracy charge to distribute heroin, according to the Associated Press. Pearson had initially maintained her innocence after being arrested in a police drug sweep in March. Her attorney said she changed her plea so as not to have to deal with the charges. She was sentenced to 3 years of supervised probation. Gavin DeGraw is in stable condition at a New York City hospital after an assault on Monday morning, according to a statement by his publicist. The 34-year-old singer, whose hits include I Don't Want to Be and Chariot, was taken to the hospital by ambulance and is currently recovering. Gavin and his family appreciate everyone's concern at this time, his publicist said. A spokesperson for the New York City Police Department said that DeGraw, who had been drinking, suffered a broken nose and two black eyes when he was assaulted by several assailants around 4 a.m. in the East Village. There have been no arrests and there are no suspects of interest. DeGraw has been touring with Maroon 5 and Train. And that right there might be, well. Teen Mom 2 star Janelle Evans has been arrested on a probation violation, according to a spokesperson for North Carolina's Brunswick County Detention Center. Evans was taken into custody last night, although details have not yet been released. Evans' 12-month probation term stems from a March assault charge that was recorded on video, as well as a drug paraphernalia charge. Evans' lawyer and MTV did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The status of a cigar that Arnold Schwarzenegger had in his mouth at an Austrian airport could decide whether or not he faces legal action. Smoking at airports is banned in Austria, and an anti-smoking lobby said Tuesday it plans to launch a suit against the former California governor for puffing on a stogie after arriving in June at Salzburg Airport. Salzburg municipal legal expert Joseph Goldberg, however, said that Schwarzenegger can't ignore any requests from authorities in his homeland to respond since the charge is not covered by treaties. And meanwhile, an airport spokesman said that the cigar was not even lit. Burning cigars smoke, and there were no puffs for Schwarzenegger, said the airport spokesman.
It was decorative only, he said.
Decorative only. Shaquille O'Neal indirectly won an enormous victory today. A judge threw out a case against seven gang members who were accused of kidnapping a man in order to retrieve a sex tape of Shaquille O'Neal. Robert Ross, the alleged victim, claimed he had a sex tape showing Shaq with multiple women at different times while he was still married to Shawnee O'Neal. Ross claimed seven gang members kidnapped him at the direction of Shaq and tried to beat him into submission so he would cough up the video. Today in court, in the middle of the preliminary hearing, the DA shocked the courtroom by saying they no longer had confidence in Ross based on his testimony and his actions outside of court. Lawyers for the seven defendants asked the judge to immediately dismiss the case, which is exactly what the judge did. As for why the DA lost confidence in Ross during his testimony during the preliminary hearing, he admitted he had lied about having a sex tape, which is something that Shaquille O'Neal had denied existed all along.
Although, to be fair, I mean, it does seem like it would take multiple women. I mean, at once. I mean, to even grasp, you know, like any portion of his anatomy. I mean, it seems like that's and probably, I would imagine, a series of levers and pulleys. Hydraulic systems. Honestly.
Scaffolding.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's all the entertainment news.
Really? Yeah, we're going out on that? We're going out on a crude joke about Shaquille O'Neal's penis?
Yes, sadly, yes, we are.
All right, there you go. There's your entertainment news for, I guess, for Tuesday here at Legion of News at Cascadia.fm and so forth. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can also get it via iTunes if you like and take it with you as you go about your daily affairs and business at mobile, Cascadia.fm on your mobile or handheld device. That is even a BlackBerry. Mobile.Cascadia.fm, maybe.
Endurance swimmer Diana Nyad is back in Florida after abandoning her attempt to swim 103 miles from Havana, Cuba to Key West. Nyad says she won't try again.
I really think that this was my time. This was the fairy tale this year. All these people around the world virtually who dived into this with me. And to train again, try to bring in the people all again, I think I'm going to have to go to my grave without swimming from Cuba to Florida.
You know what she sounds like? She sounds like Pamela Adlon. The girl, the actress, is the voice of Bobby Hill, and she was on Louie.
Yeah.
And Californication. Mm-hmm. She sounds exactly like that.
She's on Louie now. She has a recurring role on that.
Yeah. She's not his wife, though, is she?
No, she plays a friend of his.
Okay. They must go back then, because she was on his last sitcom as his wife.
Yeah, she's a co-producer or a co-writer or something on this one as well. Yeah.
Also, in other news, apparently she found out that swimming 103 miles in, like, the icy freaking ocean is, you know, a thing that wears you out and maybe might be harder than you'd anticipated.
Might not be doable. Naya says she gave it her best, and so did her team.
I was a person I can be proud of. Our whole team, we dug down and found some courage. We tried every imaginable resource we could.
Really? It seems like a one-step process. Aim yourself that way and swim. Don't stop until you're there. End.
Yeah. You get
end
in
of
the water
line.
And you swim.
All right.
Yeah. In other sporting news, there's a reason for even non-fans to watch this month's Track and Field World Championships. Double amputee sprinter Oscar Pistorius is set to line up for the 400-meter race.
I dig that guy. So he's got the most amazing getup, and there's been a whole... And I'm intrigued to know that they're actually... Did you say this is a normal event, or is this an event for people who are differently abled?
This is a normal track and field world championship.
There's been a lot of debate about whether or not he ought to be allowed to participate because he's got these insane, like, these metallic... They're not even prosthetic legs as such. Have you seen them? They're like these backwards C's that he's got.
They're crazy.
I guess I can on some level see the point of people against whom he competes saying, A, on the one hand, if I beat a guy who has no legs, I just beat a guy who has no legs. But B, if I lose, it's because the guy doesn't necessarily have... I think one of their claims is that the prosthetics, which take the place of his lower legs, weigh less than actual human than that portion of the human anatomy would, and so therefore he's carrying less weight with him. And I think, if I remember correctly, the deal is that he had to augment his prosthetics so that they would be equivalent in weight to what that section of a human leg would actually weigh, so that he was having to, in other words, so he didn't have a weight advantage or something. Because they've got the most, you will watch videos of this guy online sprinting like just down the beach, like he practices running in sand like a lot of athletes do. And it's just amazing. It's sort of like freaky and awesome and like go humanity all at once.
Yeah, he's one of 26 South African athletes selected Monday to take part in the World Championships. They start August 27th in South Korea. He's also going to be his country's only representative in the 400-meter sprint, and he will take part in the 4x400 relay. He was at one time banned from able-bodied competition, claiming that the carbon fiber blades he runs on give an unfair advantage. He was then cleared to compete in 2008, but couldn't qualify for that year's Olympics and the following year's World Championships in Berlin. He was in danger of failing to qualify for this year's championship, but last month, in his final race before the qualifying cutoff, he ran the 400 meters in 45.07 seconds. 0.18 seconds faster than the time he needed to become eligible. And this also means he's eligible for next year's London Olympics.
And again,
well,
let's also be clear on that, as someone has noted, he's basically got sticks where his legs ought to be. And there's no way that I could ever run that fast, ever, ever. You could give me the rest of my life to practice. I'd never be able to run that fast. So awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. A 36-year-old Florida woman lost three fingers early Sunday when she tried to wake up her boyfriend with fireworks. The woman and her boyfriend told the Gainesville Police Department they had been drinking before the incident at the Georgetown Apartments. The woman said she was holding a fireworks novelty item in her hand when she lit the fuse. She'd been planning to toss the device out the front door, thinking it would make enough noise to wake her boyfriend. Instead, the device exploded in her hand, tearing off her thumb, middle, and ring fingers.
So I bet he was woken up by that, though.
The blast was so... And here's the money line of the story, by the way. The blast was so powerful that police said they found one bone remnant embedded in the ceiling.
Wow.
The woman was taken to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Her boyfriend told police he did not realize that the couple had any fireworks left over from the 4th of July. He also said the woman's actions were out of character.
I mean, did he? You wonder how long it took him when he woke up to figure out that wasn't some new and exotic alarm clock, too. The one that just sort of sounded like... Aah!
Well, first there's the loud bang, then there's the screaming.
Baby, is this part of your finger up in the shingle? All right, let me get that out for you.
Bone remnant embedded in the ceiling.
I guess we probably can't top that. We'll just go out on that. Hold on, there we go. Awesome. And with that, we bring down the curtain on another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Kill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting episode of Legion of News. That is tomorrow, Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. Until then, have a safe and satisfying Tuesday, won't you?